You are listening to the eReal Estate Coach Podcast, featuring RealTrends top 500 broker, Jim Remley. On this show, we interview interesting people in the real estate industry to help agents, broker owners, and team leaders accelerate their performance.
Okay, guys, I am live and in person with Garrett Moon. Garrett has got an amazing story. He's got an amazing background. He's crushing it in the market. I'm just super stoked. He's in one top 1% of the nation. And is building his business the way we believe that you should be building your business, which is based on your sphere of influence as the main engine of your business. And of course, we'll have a couple other things that'll feed into that, of course. But Garrett, thanks for being on the show, man.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for having me, Jim. I'm glad we could do this.
Yeah, I'm excited. So Garrett, give our audience a little bit of a, you know, backstory, a little history on how you got here.
Yeah. So I started real estate in 2014. And got in June, and 6 months later, hadn't sold anything. So was convinced I was terrible at this. But I got in and I'm not from the area that I live in now, had only 40 people in my database, you know, so I didn't have a very big database, and had at least enough self-awareness early on to say, hey, if I'm going to do this, it's got to be the way that fits me, which is by relationship. And I just kind of dove all in on that. I've never made a cold call. I've never hosted an open house in 8.5 years or about 8 years. And so I just started trying to learn. Obviously, it took me a while because I didn't make a sale for 6 months, right? But I started to try to understand like consumer psychology and how do you generate referrals and how does this whole thing work, you know, with only these 40 people that I had in my database. And so was fortunate to just kind of learn as I went along. And I hired a coach very early on, even though I had made a sale. I just realized, you know, I need help to learn and expedite this learning. So hire a coach, start learning. Finally start to generate some business. And it kind of just picks up from there. My first full year in the industry, so 2015, I sold 27 homes. And my second year, I did 50. Yeah, wow. So I did 50 my second year, which I'm so super grateful for. And then since then, have just continued to at least do 50 and have now built a small team. It's me, a director of ops, and an agent. And I've been super fortunate for how effective that system has been. I only have 300 people in my database now. I don't want a huge database. And last year they gave us 70 closed deals off just those 300 people. Yeah, which is awesome. So I've been really fortunate to just kind of learn as I go and create my own system to follow, to create, you know, what I call systematic relationships and understand how they're going to refer us, why they're going to refer us, and kind of just dig in on that. So it's been a journey for sure. I've made tons of mistakes, which is why I'm here today, right? Because I've just failed my way forward and still make lots of mistakes, but I'm really fortunate for the position that we're in right now.
So let's go kind of granular, if you don't mind. So going back to when you were, because I think a lot of people identify with that 6 month kind of, oh my God, I'm not going to make it. What do I do? Right? What's the next thing? to going from there kind of zero to 27 transactions closed to kind of the next year, that next 12 month segment. What changed in that? Like what, I know you switched to relationship marketing, but what exactly did that mean to you? What did you do?
Yeah. Great question. So honestly, I think that, I was a couple months in, I was 3-4 months in and just thinking, why are my friends not referring me? Like, I don't understand, right? They said they'd support me, but they aren't. And so honestly, I just started researching, you know, when I run into a problem, I'm going to research and try to figure it out. So I realized that overwhelmingly studies will show you only recognize someone in one context, right? It's why if you see, you know, someone that you know from the office, whatever, and you see them at the grocery store, you're like, why do they look so familiar? It's, oh, you know, that's so-and-so, right? Like we've all had that experience. And so they recognize you in one context. Well, I started to realize then I just come out of the higher education world is where I was working, and I was leading music at my church. And I was thinking, okay, so people aren't referring a music leader to help someone buy a house, right? They're not referring an assistant director of admission to help somebody sell their house. They refer a real estate agent. Okay, now that I got that, how do I get them to think about me that way? So I just created something that thankfully worked, you know? And so what I decided was for the next 6 months, anytime I talked to them from a business perspective, not just whenever I saw them, but anytime I talked to them from a business perspective, I'd use the words business and real estate in every conversation. So for example, hey, Jim, it's Garrett. It was great seeing you at church on Sunday. You know, how you doing? Blah, blah. Good. Great. Hey, I wondered if you had a quick minute to talk business. I want to share with you what's going on in the real estate market, right? So I had to train them how to think about me. And since then, I've run into so many people that have the problem. Like, why are my friends not referring me? Well, I think it's because they just don't think about you in that context. And that just is what it is. If they're thinking about me one way, which is statistically true, I need them to think about the way I want them to think about me, which is as a real estate agent. So when I started doing that, that's when I started to see an uptick in referrals and them raising their hands to say, hey, I'd like to buy a house with you, whatever. And I think that was a huge part of it to really get that thing launched.
I coach the same kind of concept. And I think it's sometimes I call it referral resistance. Like people are like, can I really trust you with a referral? Because they do see you in this one light. Mm-hmm. And you got to kind of break through that and shatter the glass. I think that's great.
Yeah.
Now, did you have a place where you said, okay, I have a goal? Because I read a study recently that everybody knows 9 realtors, right? So, and because of that, why are they going to choose you over the other 9 in their database? Is there a process, like you say, I want to do 20 to 50 contacts a year? I mean, which kind of your theory on that?
Yeah, great question. So, you know, I never set a goal for adding people to my database. Maybe I should have, you know, to be honest. And I was fortunate that it just kind of grew organically. But, you know, so I am a huge believer in a solid, real qualified database, by which I mean, the only people in my database now have been asked the question, if you had a friend or family member thinking of making a move, do you have an agent you'd refer them to? AKA, who's the first person that comes to your mind? Nobody? Great. I'd love to be that agent, right? Can I get your phone number, email, home address, and stay in touch with you and then work the system from there? But so that I know that I'm not spending any time, energy, and money on someone who's not going to support me, refer me, or work with me. And so every single person in there I know is going to do work with me or refer me or both, right? If they're going to refer you, they're going to work with you. So I didn't feel necessarily the need to add because I felt like I had the right people in there. And then I know statistically, and I don't even remember where I saw this to be honest, but statistically the average person knows 256 people. So when I started just to do the math, okay, if I can get to 100, which is now what I teach, at least start with 100. I know it started with 40, but if you could start with 100, you reach 25,000 people, right? 250 times 100. And statistically, according to NAR, 91% of referrals will convert. So, okay, I've got a 91% chance to convert from 25,000 people. And all I got to do is care for 100 people really, really well. I feel like I can do that and generate a lot of business, right? So, you know, I wasn't necessarily interested in numbers and growing your database. I know a lot of people are, and I think that's totally okay. For me, I didn't want to get distracted from just caring for my people that were right there with all the diamonds under my feet right there and say, I just got to keep digging. And if I do that, I really believe it's going to, you know, generate a big business. And I'm fortunate that was right.
Nice. And how many times a year are you touching this? Let's say this 100 person database that you're training to. Is it once a month, twice a month, 3 times a month? And is it a mix of styles?
Yeah, great question. So no, so the system that I create, I call the Perfect 36 Touch because the word perfect makes it sound better, right? But it's a quarterly system. So, well, first, let me say every single month they get a mailer. Every single month they get an email, right? So 12 mailers a year, 12. Correct. Physical mail. Yeah. And then they get an email. So that's twice a month and then 24 for the year, right? Total. Then that's not the magic. The magic is the consistency of the personal touch. So every quarter, right? 4 quarters in a year, it's broken down like this. The first month of the quarter, your database gets a video text message. The second month of the quarter, they get a handwritten note or a pop-by gift. And the pop-by gifts need to be less than $2. And I can explain that, but they don't need to be expensive. The third month of every quarter, client event. And for your best people that can't come, you get face-to-face over coffee or breakfast or whatever you got to do. And then that just repeats. So month one, video text. Month two, handwritten note or pop-by. Month three, client event, client coffee. And then guess what? You take that and you repeat that 3 more times each quarter. And there it is. There's all the touches, right? So it's very systematic. And I wanted to be able to know, and I didn't have that right away, but I wanted to be able to know in January 1, what I was going to be doing December 1. And because I know that I wasn't going to accidentally do something hard, right? And say, you know, it's September and I'm exhausted and I show up and like, man, I guess I got to figure out what I need to do today. Maybe I should write some notes. Like that wasn't going to happen. I needed that planned in advance to say, oh, this is the month that we throw a client event. We need to get that plan, you know, and do some invitations. So yeah, it's a really simple model that just allows me to always hit my lead generation activities 100% every single month.
Let me ask you some questions about that, because I think that's brilliant, absolutely brilliant. And I love the simplicity of it. I love that everybody can implement this and it's very low cost aside from the mailing costs, which, you know, whatever.
Sure.
But yeah. on the let's break it down. So because you're doing a mailing and an email every month. Are you doing is it a postcard mailer, and what's on the mailer, and is it like statistical data? What is it?
Yeah, good question. So no, postcard mailer, and at the end of every quarter, the first month of every quarter, we send market numbers, right? Actual statistics. Every other month is, it's Father's Day. How do you throw a great Father's Day party, or Mother's Day, seasonal. Or whatever it is. Yeah. So yeah, it's just seasonal. It's just information that they might be interested in. Yep. And then the email basically follows the same template as that. Mm-hmm. Those are very, very, what I teach is, don't spend so much time worrying about those. They're very low value. It's just about showing up when you said you're going to show up, and for them to see. People open the mail over the trash can today, right? And so they're just going to toss it. That's fine. Right. Whatever. Yeah. Right. Yeah, yeah. I don't care about that. They may not see your email. I don't care. That's totally okay. Very low value. But yeah, they're just simple postcards. I use Wise Pelican as a company, and we do that. And yeah, I mean, we don't spend a lot. I spent 10 grand total last year for me and my team. And that was it.
What about on the email? Are you using like Constant Contact, MailChimp? What's your preference?
So through Squarespace, which is our website, my lead agent knows how to do it, but there's an email functionality from there. I don't know how he does it, but he just sends it from there. Yep.
And then on then month one in your quarter, you're doing a video text. Is that individual to each client, or is there one and for everyone?
Yeah, great question. So no, it's individual. So I'm a huge, statistically they say that the most beautiful sound in any language is the sound of your own name. So I want to use their name as often as possible. And so it'd be something, so if you're sending it to a couple, let's say, but you can say, hey, Jim and Jane, hope you guys are doing great. If it's January, whatever, hope you had a fantastic holiday season. Happy New Year. Looking forward to seeing you guys this year. It's not about real estate. It's 10, 15 seconds. Boom. Get it in, get it out. But like, I have 300 people in my database. It takes me, 3 hours. It's not hard. It's not long. It's really simple. So
like, just like 10 seconds, bam, bam, bam.
Yeah. Super fast.
Are you pushing that out directly through like your iPhone or your Samsung?
Mm-hmm. Yep. Okay. Yep. Just a direct text message.
So you're just shooting it on your phone. Bam, bam, bam.
Yep. Shooting it in the message app itself. Yep. And then just boom, sending it out. And I say the same thing. I mean, basically same thing to everybody. Oh, no. I have a script and it's really easy. And yeah, it's just being intentional and showing up.
Is your kind of thought process on these video texts, you're never asking for business, is always just connection?
Correct.
Or do you also? Okay.
Yeah, the only time that we ask for business even remotely is in the handwritten note. Sometimes it will end with, and as always, if you know anyone thinking of buying or selling, we'd love to help. But again, I've done so much research on the consumer psychology side. If they like you, they want you to succeed. Like, it's that simple, right? And they're thinking about you. And so I'm a believer that you don't have to constantly say that. So for example, I talk about my dentist all the time. I really like my dentist. I trust him. I like him. It seems like he cares about me, right? Now, not that he ever calls me, that maybe we weird, but like if he did call me and he always said, hey, Garrett, and by the way, if you know anyone looking for dental help, I'll be like, Dr. Artzer, I know that, at some point it might just frustrate me. Like, I know that. Stop trying to use me as a means to grow your own business. I'm a huge believer in that. If we just show up and we care about them, which is important, they know what we do. They don't need to be reminded of what we do, right? But when we trigger something, they're going to say, oh, by the way, I was talking to a friend. Let me reach back out to them and see if they need help. You just don't need to make it about yourself. I'm very anti that. I very much believe they care about them and their own life, right? And they care about you, but like they really want you to ask about them and do that. And if they're interested in what you're doing, they'll ask. Otherwise, just let it go and that's okay. They still know you're a real estate agent. If you've qualified properly with your database, like we talked about, they know you're a real estate agent. When you reach out, you don't need to keep reminding them, right? Even our client events, like it's very rare that I'll even get up and say, thank you guys so much for coming. We genuinely do this because without your support and referrals, we couldn't even get where we are today. So we're so thankful for you. Like I might say that every now and then. Most of the time I don't, they know that at the end of the day, it's because we care about them and we love them. And when they're referring us, they say, hey, here's Garrett. You can trust this guy. Like he'll take great care of you. They don't know how many homes I've sold. They don't care. They don't know what's good. Right. Yeah. So it's all about the relationship and that's what people are looking for. So anyway, super long answer to your question, but rarely ever talk about that.
That's beautiful. I think I 100% agree with your approach. It's, friends refer friends and that's the relationship we want to get to.
Yeah, that's right. 100%.
But with your client events, so you're doing one every quarter, which is unusual. Most agents are doing maybe once a year. Talk to us about that. Is everyone invited to these events, or like your whole 300 people, or is it just a, like up the top 50, or how do you decide that?
Yeah. What are
you
doing? Sure. Great question. So yeah, between me and my other agent, we've got 500 people total, just so they have real numbers. And the first party of the year in March was a movie event, right? So join us the movie morning on a Saturday, and we rented out a movie theater. We invited everybody. You know, so statistically, what I normally see is about half of the people will respond to your invitation. And of those, half of them will say yes. And then 75% of those yeses will show up. So, you know, that kind of idea, and I kind of know, and now everybody's database might be different, but so anyway, so we invite everybody to that. This past week, actually, my wife sings in a band, and it was at a local brewery. So we invited people to that, and, you know, people, everybody, doesn't matter who you are. Most of our events are for everyone. Wow. I used to do a VIP event, and instead we've shifted to like a VIP model where we give them, you know, extra special treatment and whatever, all different things. But yeah, now it's for everybody. And quite honestly, actually, Jim, we recorded this in June of 2022. It's very, as the economy heads where we think it's heading, we're actually shifting to a micro party every month. When I think you're not focused on a bunch of other stuff and you just focus on the people that are in your database and you really think about caring for them. When I sat down and thought about, okay, what are some of the first things people are going to cut as they're worried about their money is, well, they're probably not going to the movies. They might not be going to get, you know, ice cream or whatever, right? Mm-hmm. So, hey, in July, guess what? We're going to rent out a local ice cream shop for 2 hours. Mm-hmm. Come, ice cream's on us. Come enjoy, right? We're going to do another movie event. We're going to do coffee and donuts and free family portraits because you're not spending money on getting your family photos done this year. So let us do that for you. You know what I mean? Like, what are the things they're not going to do that they're going to miss? Can we fill that gap? So maybe this is a time for us to just go all in on these relationships because I think they're in need of those. And as an encouragement to your audience, you know, it's not a party. It's not about the attendees. It's about the invitees. And so when they don't come, which is unfortunate, I want some people to come, but it's cheaper for me if they don't come. Right. But when they get invited, it's just that act of invitation. If you do it properly, that they're like, wow, thank you so much. Like, what a great idea. Wish we could come. We can't, but like, that's awesome that you guys do that. Hey, we'll miss you. Totally understand. Hopefully you can make the next one. Like, that's okay too. They don't need to all come. And doing parties 4 times a year on, which is average for us, means that they're going to have other opportunities to come. It means that they're going to hear from us multiple times about inviting them to fun things. And I think it just gives us a better rhythm and our clients a better rhythm to know, oh man, I'm sorry, I missed it. Hopefully I can make the next one, which they know is going to be in 3 months. So it just gives us a better rhythm in terms of seeing our people and, you know, really showing them that we care.
I love it. Now, when you talk about Popeyes being a part of your program too, I know some agents cringe with Popeyes. They feel, you know, that they couldn't do a Popeye or whatever. I'm sure you have a better solution than most agents. What's your Popeye solution? What do you do with that?
Yeah. So my 25 people in my database, that's it. They get Popeyes. That's the only people that get them.
That determined by? Is that your top 25, your top 8 clients?
Yep. My top 8 clients get them. Now, sometimes if I am trying to, you know, take them from a C, which means like they haven't referred me, they just worked with me, take them from a C to an A because they're at a good price point or whatever. Sometimes I'll throw a Popeye into them. But yeah, for the most part, it's the people that have referred me most recently are going to get those Popeyes. Yep. Great question. So, but again, to me, the value is always less than $2 because I always say, you know, the value is not in the gift. It's the fact that I showed up at your house because when was the last time someone randomly showed up at your house to give you a gift just because? Like Amazon does that, but that's not just because, right? I paid for that. So, right. Yeah, exactly. So the fact that I went out of my way, that's the value. And even so, for example, even this last time that we gave out Mother's Day flowers in May, I wasn't able to get out there. And we had bought all these flowers. I didn't want them to die. Right. So I sent video messages to the 25 moms we were going to drop these off to and say, hey, I just want to let you know we got you flowers because we just respect and admire you as a mom. We think you do an awesome job. We hope you love and enjoy these. One of my assistants is going to get out there and drop those off for you today because unfortunately I'm unable to make it, but I hope you love them, right? And they were just as happy, just as excited. Oh, of course. So yes. I'm even exploring with ways to leverage out my own time. And like if they don't care if it's actually me showing up, but just me thinking about them, I'll try that too, you know? So there's so many ways, but I just think that if you are going to do it as a caveat, because I did it for 8 years personally, if you are going to do it, here's what I always do. I'm 10 minutes out and I just take 2 days to do Popeyes all day. So I'm 10 minutes out of this whoever's house. And I say, shoot a text message. Hey, Jim, I'm going to be right near you for an appointment, which happens to be another Popeye. And wonder if you were home, right, and had a quick minute for me to pop by and say hello. Right. Most of the time, they're not going to respond. If they don't respond, I show up, put it on their doorstep, take a picture. I'm sorry I missed you, was thinking about you, was, you know, and right near you guys. So I left you a little gift. Right. Oh, thanks, Garrett. That's awesome. Right. Or if they are home, great. Yeah, we are home. Come on over. Awesome. Stop by. Well, great, Garrett. Thanks for coming. You know, at their door, come on in. Hey, I'm so sorry. I'm headed to an appointment. And so I just had a quick minute, but I wanted to stop by and say hello. You know, how are you guys doing? Great, great, great. 2 to 3 minutes. And then you can get out of there because they already know. You've set the expectation. You got somewhere else to be. And that's okay. Right. And if it gets really bad, just leave your car on and the door open because they're not going to make you come inside. Right. So, yeah, I mean, I think like there's tons of ways for you to protect your time if you just set an expectation. Yes. And then you can knock them all out. And right. That's totally doable.
Love it. Love it. Love it. So let's switch gears because this was not on your list, but I'm very interested, which I love that this was not on your list.
Yeah, yeah.
Which is social media. All right, how big are you on social media? Are you using this all the time? What's your take on social media?
Yeah, so no, I would say that I'm very poor on social media. You know, I don't. So we started this year. We launched so my team is the Maroon Group. Very original, I know. That's my last name, but the Maroon Group or TMG. Our initials TMG VIP page. So we throw all of our clients on there. And every Monday we do a giveaway of $25. They comment and like, and then we're doing a referral contest for the year, which is anytime you give us a referral, you get entered to win a trip to Cancun. Now, in order to avoid a RESPA violation, I talked to the attorney, whichever agent they know will go with them also to Cancun. And that's how it's totally legit. And we're not going to have any issues with RESPA violation or anything like that. But, and so we do that. And then on Wednesdays, I do a joke of the week because I like bad jokes and they tend to like making fun of me, which is fine. Right. I'll go all in on that. But other than that, like I'm not super active. I mean, I will hop on there sometimes and say, oh, it's their birthday. Let me send them a little Facebook video, whatever. But I'm not super active. I'm active enough because I want people to know who I am. But, you know, I have been so focused on the actual real relationship that honestly, social never really played a part in that. Now, my agent, my lead agent is great on social media and has built a big business doing that. But that for me, that just wasn't who I was. And I knew that I'm not going to be consistent enough posting to move the needle. So I'm just not going to worry about that. And whereas he does it multiple times a day, like I just wouldn't be that person. So I'll focus on the other thing. So yeah, for me personally, I haven't done it a lot.
Just to be clear, the first part you were talking about is a closed Facebook group just for your.
Correct. Yeah, a closed Facebook group just for our database. That's correct. Yep.
Smart. And with the, with kind of the overall management of your team, I'm sure using a CRM, I mean your database. And did you already mention that CRM?
No, it's Shaker. Oh, we use Shaker. A CRM called Shaker. Yep.
Shaker. Okay, cool. Does that have an impact or are you a believer that any CRM works as long as you work?
Yeah, I think it's more that any CRM works. I mean, we like Shaker because it's a CRM and a transaction management software all in one. But it's really, for us as a team, it's really easy. I mean, I only sell 10 homes a year. I take the 10 that I want and my agent does all the rest. Like he's already done 45 and it's June 13th, right? He's killing it. And then my director of ops does everything else. So like, I like it to be very simple. I don't want to spend a lot of time doing it. I mostly just I spend, 10-ish hours or so on the team every week. And so I wanted something that was really simple and easy to pass information back and forth and Shaker does it. But yeah, I don't care what it is. Just have a CRM. program that you actually take care of, that's where your debt, that's where your money is, that's where your business is. So yeah, we take a lot of care of it.
Because I think a lot of people would have the goal that you're kind of, you've created this small team, which is the most profitable kind of teams, by the way. And generally it's an assistant or a TC and one agent. That's the most profitable teams in America. But when you're looking at how you manage that, and more importantly for me, how you explain it to a client. So you're building this referral-based database. People call you and say, Garrett, I want to use you. How do you do the handoff now? Because you're keeping 10, but you're giving 45 to the other guy or gal. Mm-hmm. And how do you do this? What's that conversation? How do you handle that conversation?
Yeah, great question, Jim. So that was something I was scared of, to be honest, until I just started doing it. And it was, hey, they didn't care. You know, so I'll say this. First and foremost, it's really easy when you get a referral and it's not someone that you know. Great. Right. You know, my agent, Jesse, he's awesome. And I'll say, you know, great. Hey, Jim, you know, they introduced me to Jim. Great, Jim. Looking forward to connecting with you. I might do a quick introduction call. Most of the time, I'll just say, hey, my lead agent, who's amazing, Jesse, I'm going to do an introduction for you. And then we'll get you launched. Right. And Jesse just reaches out. Hey, super excited to work. They don't care. They don't know who I am. Right. They're committed to the standard that I represent, not me. And so I had to understand that first. Then when it's people that I actively know, so only once in 2.5 years of doing this, only once has someone said, hey, Garrett, we really appreciate that you have another agent, but we know lots of agents. And if it's not going to be you, we will work with someone else, just being honest. So I was like, hey, thank you for being honest. I'll take care of you guys. It's no problem, right? Because I was planning to take care of a couple. So not a problem. Majority of people, though, when they call me, here's what I say. Hey, thanks so much for reaching out. You know, whatever name, Brandon, we'd love to help you. We're looking forward to it. Hey, just so you know, because of people like you and your support, my team has grown. And so now I've got a listing specialist or a lead agent, whatever their title is. I've got a listing specialist who handles all the day-to-day because we do so many transactions in a given year. And I want to be able to be involved in all of them. I can't take day-to-day operation. So Jesse's going to reach out to you, get you started. He'll copy me on everything. And if you ever need me, of course you can reach out and I'll be in touch. But he's going to handle day-to-day. Casey, our director of operations, will take care of all the operational stuff, the paperwork and all that good stuff. And they're going to do such a good job. I promise you won't even need me, but I'm going to be here. I know exactly what's going on. I'll have him reach out to you. Great. Garrett, sounds great. I really appreciate you. Right. As long as they know you're still involved, they're fine. You know, I always share it like this once I learned it, but you know, I love my doctor, for example. Mm-hmm. When I go to the doctors, I see him for like 10 minutes, maybe, right? I see the front desk and the nurses way more than I see him. But when people say, do you love your doctor? Like, oh yeah, Dr. McCormick's amazing, right? So it's still about the team that represents you. They still say, oh, I'm working with Garrett. Well, Garrett hasn't talked to you in a month, but it's Garrett's team, right? So they're still going to apply that to you. So it's really not as big of a deal as people tend to make it. And I think if you just try it, and last thing I'll say on that, Jim, too, is so I've also had the experience where I was a little bit concerned about the client, you know, being weird about it or whatever. And so I'll say, hey, Jim, just want to let you know, I'm going to do a group text with me and my lead agent, Jesse, because I know that your time is valuable and we want to make sure we're as available to you as possible. So we're going to ask you some times that you can meet and whichever one of us can get there first, we'll take care of you. Right. And then it's always Jesse. It's never me. Right. So like that works too. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like all, and as long as you have an agent that they like, they never think about that. And so it's about having the right people.
No, do you step back in at the end at all? Or is it just, they take it to the home run? They take it all.
Yeah. No. So what we have set up is along the way, like highlight points, like your house just listed or you went under contract or whatever. I send them a text message, video text message. So, hey, Jim, heard you guys went under contract today. Congratulations. So excited. I know Jesse and Casey have been taking care of you, but know that I always know what's going on. And if you need anything, you absolutely can reach out to me directly. Right. So I'm trying to do it where I'm present, but I don't want them to reach out to me because I don't want to confuse the lines. Right. And that's worked really well. Awesome. As long as I show up and they know I'm still there, they don't tend to care. You know, again, they appreciate the standard that I represent, not me. They like the standard. And if I can give them that, they're fine.
Love it. Love it. Love it. Garrett, you've given us so many freaking nuggets and just kind of a roadmap to success here. It's amazing. It's absolutely phenomenal. How do people connect with you if they want, you know, to learn more about you, your coaching, your stuff? I mean, how do people?
Yeah. No, thank you, Jim. So, I mean, they can, so business by relationships with an S.com is my training company. They can check us out there. They can connect with me there. You can just straight up email me and I'm happy to help or answer questions. Garrett, G-A-R-R-E-T-T at businessbyrelationships.com. They can email me there. We've got a podcast called Serving Not Selling. So they can check us out there, which Jim, we got to get you on that. I'll shoot that to you. But yeah, I mean, there's so many ways they could just reach out to me and I would love to help or support in any way that I can. Yeah. I mean, much like you, Jim, I'm a huge believer. So I'm so fortunate, you know, I started this 8 years ago, but now I work maybe 30 hours a week, make a really good living. And I spend 10 on my team and 20 on building out new businesses, right? Which is what I love to do. And like, you know, I am so fortunate to move from making a living to making an impact. And I think that ultimately all of us desire to do that. And I'm a believer in, you know, real estate doesn't need to be 80 hours a week for you to sell 50 homes. Like that's just not true. And the industry says that, but I don't believe that. There's a better way. And you can do it, right? If I can do it, you can do it. It's absolutely possible. You just got to be consistent and purposeful. And I just, I am passionate about helping agents figure that out because there's a better way. And I think our families need us to do it in a better way in shorter time. I think our communities need us to be better at what we do. And I think the world needs us to spend less time making the same amount of money and making the same number of sales so we can go do things of higher impact. And so anyways, I don't know why I said that, but they can absolutely reach out to me and I'd love to help in any way that I can.
I love it. I love it. Thank you so much. I can't recommend Garrett enough. Amazing content here. Thank you so much for being on the podcast, my friend. And I know everybody's
thanks for having me, Jim. Yeah, it was great, man. I appreciate it.
If you liked this program, please subscribe and leave a review. And if you would like to explore our coaching platform, please check out www.erealestatecoach.com for 2 free weeks of coaching. Thanks again for tuning in, and we'll catch you in the next episode of the eRealEstate Coach Podcast.